Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast. My name is John O'Connor. Like always, I'm here with Daniel Tao. This episode, episode 39, as a matter of fact, we talk with Brent Allen, the guitarist and one of the founding members of IC Stars. As part of our Warped Tour series, this is number two in a set of maybe six, seven, I'm not 100% sure. But we have a lot and a lot of great interviews. In my opinion, I think this was the best one. It was very relaxed. It was a nice conversation. We talked about their new release, Treehouse, among other great topics. Right before we get into things, don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/behindthebarricade. Twitter is at behindthecade, C-A-D-E. We're also on Instagram, instagram.com/behindthebarricade. We're also on Radio Kronos, and that's radiokronos.com, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Kronos, Q-O-N-O-S.com. So head over there, stream, show some love. Also on iTunes, and please, if you really want to help the show out, give us a nice rating, a 4 or 5 star rating, and write a little review. You know, just what you like about the show, what guests you want to see, etc., etc. So that helps in their algorithm, or whatever the hell iTunes uses, I'm not even too sure. But anyways, that's about it on my end. So here it is, Brent Allen, guitarist of IC Stars. Do it up.
John, pleasure.
Nice to meet you. IC Stars.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you do in the band?
Play guitar.
Oh, you're a guitarist. Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. So we're here at Warped Tour in the state of New Jersey, and
yes,
we can't say the venue because of labor laws.
What's that?
Apparently, I said this before in an interview, we were told at the door not to mention where we were in New Jersey. Like, we can mention we were in Homedale, New Jersey. We cannot mention...
Tell them the location.
The venue.
Can we give them our longitude and latitude?
Absolutely. If you know it, might as well.
I wish I knew it.
Yes.
But I don't.
But if you like to put money into a certain savings or a checking account, you might
use
do it with this...
With said financial institution.
Yes. There's so many stupid, crazy rules.
You know, they come and go out here. You know, one day it's cool to do something, the next day it's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you figure it out? You don't. You just pay attention to the email that you get in the morning, and hopefully you don't break any rules.
Yes.
If not, then Twitter will hear about it.
Oh, psh, among many other sources.
God. How long have you been with the band, with IC Stars?
We started the band in 2005.
Oh, five, wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think the first time I saw you guys. It was a Bamboozle. I want to say 2010?
10, yeah. I think so. Yeah, we did. I think you did 2 years in a row. It was probably 2010, 2011, something
okay,
like that.
Yeah, you were on the main stage. I think you were at, like, first on that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I still remember that shit.
It was cool. It was a time.
Yeah, to be alive.
Yes, as the kids would say.
As Aubrey Graham has once quoted.
Or lit AF, as the kids would also say on Twitter.
Oh, I actually didn't know lit AF was a thing.
Yeah. Lit AF.
Which is lit as fuck. let's just fucking say it. Why not? We're not an edited podcast. We just say whatever the fuck comes to our minds.
Perfect.
Exactly.
So, I'm on the right show.
You're goddamn right. So any of the seven dirty words Carlin has came up with, you could say.
Excellent.
Yes. So if I call you a number five, there you go.
Then, actually, you know, we're in this together. Say I get it. I get it.
But anyways, you're on the Warped Tour for... This is like... You're on there for quite a while, right?
How do you say balls deep?
Ah, I believe balls deep is the correct.
Yes.
But yeah, what number of years is this for you guys?
Three.
Yeah. All right. Seems like you've been on it a lot longer. Like,
you
it
know,
seems like almost
it
every
does.
Line. Yeah.
It's like dog years out here.
But the summer
regular
days.
Years, yeah, yes. Exactly. It's great though. It's you know, it's an amazing tour to be a part of, and every corner there's something interesting going on.
Absolutely.
You know, I could be at home just taking a nap right now, but instead I'm out here doing an interview with a couple badasses. You know.
Absolutely. Wishing you were taking that nap right now.
Yes, exactly.
Let's call a spade, all right? So you guys actually came out with Treehouse, right?
Yes,
your latest
sir.
Album?
Yep.
And the first one without the screamer, I forgot his name, Devin?
Zach.
Devin is in the band. Gotcha.
Yes.
How's the reception for that going so far?
You know, I think it's going well. I like that the people that are listening to it, they're actually listening to it. They're going in and figuring out what they do like about it and complimenting all the right things and also kind of telling us what they liked about other records. And it's you know, it's cool to hear them to like I said like really listening to this record and giving it a chance. And I've even had someone be like, you know, I didn't really like it at first, but I kept listening and now I really like certain songs.
So it's a grower, just like a tree.
Exactly.
And then once
you
got the tree grown, you put the house there.
Exactly. And then you live there.
I mean, there are some badass tree houses, though.
Oh, there's probably the most badass tree houses. Maybe when I get older, I'll get my dope tree house.
As long as you don't have a man cave. I think less of a person, like less of a man if they have a space called the man cave.
Of course.
Yes.
I don't know what I would call my space, my man space.
How about your entire fucking house?
Yeah, exactly. My house is a bachelor pad, so I'm single, so it'll definitely be man cave-ish, but it'll be the whole house.
Yeah.
It'll be the whole house. We'll have the pole in the kitchen, you know. Nothing to see here, folks.
Eggs and legs?
Yeah. Oh, bed and breakfast, baby.
Oh,
you're
yes.
more than welcome anytime.
Done the IC Stars away.
Now, would you have that pole going from the upstairs to the downstairs?
Yes,
fireman
I would
style?
Have a hole in the ceiling so they could commute.
Swimming
to the
pool
master bedroom to the kitchen.
Swimming pool in every room.
Yep, that was me, folks.
I don't know. I kind of feel like the man cave should be, I guess it's kind of lame, but like it's the music room. Like you just don't say anything. It's just the music. You know, you got your shit in it.
I agree. There should be an old beat up Tama drum set in the corner and a couple Marshalls around and... Just for shits and gigs, you know, you get a couple drinks in, and your buddy wants to jam. Let's do it.
Got a laptop, some recording.
Oh
just
yeah,
to
exactly. You might accidentally record "Don't Stop Believing." You know, like, whoops, I made a hit. My bad. You got to set yourself up for that kind of thing.
Now, do you guys do that while on tour? Do you like record, have like a mobile thing going? Or?
Some of the guys stay up, just way too late for their own good, and they sit on their computers and make music, constantly making music. I'll be honest, I don't do that as often. I when I go home, we have a studio at the house. We have basically a frat house with basically the whole band living there. Yeah, I'll go down there and, you know, a couple times actually, we we have this fake band, and we hook it up to the computer, and everybody gets their own instruments, so like two guitars and a bass, and like set up a drum machine on the keyboard, and we just all sit there and just smoke stuff. And
I like that. Wink, wink.
And we jam. We just sit there and jam for like an hour. And you know, my preferred instrument is the bass guitar, and I like to get funky on that whenever I get the chance. Oh, we'll slap the bass, play it real high, you know?
I mean, dude,
literally the bass high, not play it high, you know what I'm saying?
According to Disturbed, I mean, that's how the best songs are made, is, you know, you're sitting there smoking it up, and then you're just playing music, and then just something happens to hit, you know?
That's exactly how it goes. You know, we do this thing where everyone starts noodling around for a little bit, and then you're kind of like, okay. Then somebody plays something, and you go, loop that. Let's do that one. And then you just start seeing everybody start moving. You're like, yeah, this is turning into something.
So how many times did you end up becoming sober, and you're like listening back, you're like, do we like this?
Every time. It's all up from there, though, you know? It's all up from the morning. You can work on it from there, but...
Absolutely.
Yeah, you gotta let it flow. Whatever happens, you know. That's something with our band, is that we don't go into writing and have this, we don't have the end result prepared.
Yeah.
The end result just kind of creates itself the further we get into writing.
Well, it's more
a song.
Organically, the better, more or less.
Exactly,
yeah.
And that's important to us as artists and as dudes in bands, you know, like we want to keep it organic, we want it to sound that way and feel that way, and yeah. You know, I'd credit that for the reason why this band is even stuck around. You know, we weren't some band that just sounded like some other band, so here we are on tour with a band that sounds like that band. No, it's like, you know, we had this organic thing, like even just socially, we've been friends forever, and it's just a very real thing. And then our musical interests and tastes and writing and all that stuff, like, is just comes, you know? And like, yeah. I said, we don't have this giant end goal every time we go to write a song. We're like, oh, we're going to write an EDM rock song. It's like, no.
So with, like, the quantity of songs, like, differ between each record?
Absolutely. There's been records where we've had to write three more songs in the studio.
Oh, wow.
Freaking out, like, oh, my gosh, like, what do we do? Just pull songs
missing
out of
deadlines,
our asses?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And, you know what? It worked, I guess. But this record, we had a lot of songs to pull from, a lot of ideas that we were able to combine. We do that a lot, too, where we're like, okay, this idea is in the same key as this one, so let's see if we can mash these two together and make it a new idea, a fresh idea.
Yeah.
So we, like I said, we're constantly writing. So it's content is not usually an issue for us, and especially not on this last record.
Absolutely. Wow.
So now are you one of those bands that has like 30 to 100 songs and you kind of pick the best, or how does that work?
You know, they're not songs.
Or just like,
per se.
You know, like riffs and,
yes.
And ideas.
Yes. Lots and lots of riffs and, you know, it's funny, like, I've had songs that I've been working on for months or even over a year, and you just got to catch these guys in the right mood. They're walking by, and they go, wait a minute, what is that? And I go, motherfucker, I showed this to you, like, 6 months ago, and you just kind of gave me this shoulder shrug,
yeah,
and now you want to work on this idea?
Motherfucker, this is my solo
project
now.
This is my solo, yeah, I'm taking this one. No, but we, like I said, we're constantly writing and constantly combining ideas, old ideas, new ideas. You know, we like to keep the opportunities endless, you know, and keep them colorful and creative, and that kind of stuff's really important to us. And maybe it's working. We get invited back to this kind of stuff,
yeah.
So I think we're just going to keep
doing
what we're doing and, you know, see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. It's crazy to think, like, maybe, like, 5 or 6 years ago, like, if you said you were an IC Stars fan, they're like, ugh. Like, you were part of that whole, like, neon movement.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, like, you got out of it. Like, so many bands are, like, we're stuck into it. Like, Forever the Sickest Kids. Like, they're no longer around. Well,
yeah, yeah.
That whole Rolex thing, let's
sure.
not even go there, but...
It's easy to look in the mirror and feel stupid because not everyone is behind what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Yeah.
And when, you know, fads and scenes and all that kind of stuff comes into play, you're like, okay, what do I really want to be a part of? You know, for us, we are in some way credited for pioneering some type of genre.
Oh, absolutely.
Or,
yeah.
You know, combining elements that people weren't doing, you know, even back in the day and even till now, it's like, you know, one might say like, oh, it's electronic core, dubstep, metal, like all these really like left side, right
add
side.
Add a core, add a melodic to it.
Yeah, exactly. And they think they know what they're talking about. But the reality is like we're dudes that produce music electronically, and we're also dudes who know how to do analog shit. I plug my guitar right in, turn it up to 11, fucking record it, and that's it. It's printed on tape, the end, you know? Like,
exactly.
We know how to jam out, and we truly are influenced by the type of music that we play, so we like to bring as much of the realness from that as we can into what we do. Mm-hmm. Thus, we're not embarrassed by it. We're not like, oh my gosh, we're like sounding like this band because they're doing it, and now we just kind of feel silly because we looked back a year later and like, man, that was kind of silly.
Yeah.
Truth is, we don't give a shit. We're just going to keep writing
as
records.
As you should. No.
And if they want to hate us and get offended and say that we did them all wrong, like, okay, I'm sorry. However, we're going to keep writing records, and I promise you there's going to be a song somewhere down the line. You're like, okay, that's the stars I like, you know. And that's okay that they feel that way. And some people love it all. They'll fucking love every single thing we do. Yeah, that's good for them. But for the rest of the world, you know, they're a little bit more needy. They have something more specific they're looking for out of us. And borderline offended if we don't just do it for them. So.
But that's the problem. You can't create music to appeal to everyone.
No.
They'll
and that's not the
nuts.
Goal.
Yeah, no.
Not the goal. I'm not trying to impress everybody.
No, fuck that.
You know, I'd much rather have a niche group of people that like us for us and not saying to ourselves every day, well, how can we get more fans and the better fans and the bigger fans? Like, that's how you fucking go down a rabbit hole and end up imploding on yourself. Instead, we're more worried about writing records and writing songs and going on tour and showing up to the party instead of trying to be a part of somebody else's bullshit.
Yeah.
And create our own thing and take it for a walk, you know? Like, I'm not worried, like I said, about trying to impress everybody. We have awesome fans out there, and it's because we showed up and hand-delivered it to fucking A, B, C, and D markets across the world. You know, we've done that for the last 10 years now, and we're going to continue to do that and until I'm fucking dead or people stop listening. Like, I'm not going anywhere.
So basically you're dead because people are still
going to
listen.
Exactly. You know, people will probably like the band more when I'm dead, but that's a different story altogether.
That's the best part, though. If one of you passes away, it seems like more people gravitate towards the band. Like,
of course.
Like a prime example would be Bayside. Like, once Beats unfortunately passed away, it seems like they become like bigger and bigger and bigger.
I mean, Nirvana, like, let's be honest now, you know.
Sublime.
There was just Sublime. Like, those were love stories, but real life love stories and like dramatic, like, stories that people were like, shit, this is fucking crazy. Like,
now, do you have a theory on Kurt Cobain?
I watched the...
Soaked in Bleach?
Yes,
saw
I watched
that,
Soaked in Bleach, and it's provocative, you know, it's...
It touched on a lot of great points here.
Tons
you didn't
of great points
that you didn't think of before.
Yeah,
exactly,
you know, and I think the key guy was the first guy that was talking to Courtney Love at first. I think his testimony, I think, is the most like, ooh, because you can see how uncomfortable he is. He ain't fucking lying. He ain't kidding. He ain't trying to just bash her because of, you know, try to get some limelight. No, dude. He was like, this shit's weird.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't right, you know? And so that was definitely an interesting thing to watch. I always like that kind of stuff, you know?
You're into documentaries? You're into documentaries or, like, mystery type of deals? Or
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not a big movie, like, documentary, not like Netflix, or I never spend time doing that stuff. But when I do, I usually try to get something that's kind of gets me going a little bit, you know, like, oh, wait a minute, what's up with that? So that was definitely a cool one to watch.
Yeah. You ever see that one, Dan?
Yeah. I think the good thing about stuff like that is not to say, all right, I watched this movie, she definitely killed him, is just to get you thinking, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, there could be another side of the story, then he just didn't kill himself.
There could be. Now there especially could be after that, you know? Because otherwise, you're like, oh, yeah, she's a bitch, she probably killed him, whatever. Now you're like, wait a minute, she might have been very much a part of that. Like, oh, gosh. How terrible. Thank God I don't have a Courtney Love.
I know.
And I don't do heroin, so I'm doing good, I think. Yeah, two for two.
It just stinks because Nirvana was a huge, you know, awesome band, and it's crazy to think where they would be now, you know, if they were still around.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't have the Foo Fighters.
We have the Nirvana that we know today is the real question, you know?
Yeah, that is true. Because, you know, nowadays it would probably... I mean, so certain bands don't, but it seems like a lot of bands, they have to change their music for press and, you know, like stuff like that.
And if they don't, they literally vanish. Bands out there, they fucking vanish.
Or they stay the same.
Terrifying.
One or the other.
Or they stay the same and it's lukewarm, mm-hmm. you know, until they do club tours and mm-hmm. put like 400 kids in a room. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's very, I guess, rare to see bands that do the same thing and that they're still popular.
Yeah.
You know?
We're not fans of writing the same record. Mm-hmm. Probably because our musical interests just go from as far right to as far left as they can go, and mm-hmm. we're just ready, constantly ready to be like, you know, how can we fucking fuck kids up? Now, like, how we piss off the whole world. Let's do it in form of song, you know?
Now, before, you said after you listened to it, you got used to it. So do you listen to your own records and you actually love the music that you play? Because, no, John criticizes me for listening to our music.
That's a funny question. So at the beginning, I listened to our first record all the time. Listened to 3D, like, that was my jam, like a jammed Stars. Like, I had to love what we were doing.
Yeah.
And I really did because, it was the blend that we created based on what we loved, you know, and it spoke to me, and it was awesome. I remember somebody told me they saw an interview or something with Brandon Flowers with the Killers, and I think they asked him something similar, and he was like, you know, that's my favorite record is fucking Hot Fuss. Like, that's what I jam.
Wow.
Like, that's his record, you know? So I think that it's important to like what you do. Although nowadays I don't as much because, I don't know. I find a lot of weird shit to get into, and my guys are constantly flipping the page of what's next and who's doing what and who's a part of this song. And there's just so much out there that I spend a lot less time, probably even listening to music, unfortunately, and just being on the road and being busy and stuff. But I don't spend too much time listening to the record after the fact. You know, once we put these records out, it's kind of like, okay, we're ready to write a whole new record. But there are some songs on this record that are maybe some of my favorites that we've ever written. So that's nice to be able to say after all this time, still writing songs and making music that is continuing to grab my own attention. And being in this band, it's not like there's one guy that just does everything and then the singer sings on it. It's like everyone adds so much to each song. Some people work on songs that I haven't even touched. Like, I've had some guys write guitar that they gotta teach me the part. Like, and that's okay because, yeah. You know, I want to see the record be the best thing that it can be. You know, so I'm always impressed by these guys. They really do impress me. Andrew and Devin, I think those guys are really fantastic writers and listeners, and I think they've got Andrew especially has really an eclectic taste in all types of music, and he's got a very, I don't know, it's, I've never been able to like replicate what he does. I don't know what it is, but he's got a way with his music, and he continues to inspire me on the daily. So,
wow.
I don't know.
I mean, that's great. You have to be. You have to continue to inspire. Like,
yes.
You know, you can't just be, let's say, a metalcore band and just keep listening to the same Killswitch Engage album or this album or that. You know, you got to keep like branching out there.
Absolutely, and I think that being an artist should be about that kind of, you know what, if you play metal, that's great, but how can you tell the same story in a different way?
Yeah.
It's kind of the theory there. In today's music, drums, guitar, and bass is just ain't going to cut it for us.
Nah.
So that's why we bring in so many of the electronic elements, and, you know, like I said earlier, so many of these people just put you in these categories that they just invent. But the reality is, like, we aren't just like some dubstep metal smash band, you know? Like, these elements are actually purposeful. They're tasteful. There's a lot of stuff that people can't put their finger on because yeah. it isn't about that one sound. It's about six sounds that create something else. Yeah. We tried to keep things deep. I like a deep mix. Like I liked, you know, just layers and sounds and little trinkets in the background that really make a full song yeah. or just make a deep song. Like, even just when you're listening to it, you're able to listen to it 10 times, and on that 10th time you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't hear that. And you listen 10 more times, yeah, exactly. There's that harmony, there's that weird synth that's harmonizing with the harmony. Like, these are all things that we think about when we're writing songs and try and, you know, kind of subliminally put them in there, so people are like, why does it sound like this? Why don't my record sound like this? Well, because you don't have a fucking clue what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's how we like it. You know?
So you're just creating a pound cake while you're doing like a six-tier wedding cake.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
But yeah, shit. I love these kind of interviews where we just sit down and talk. You know, we had a couple interviews before where they're like kind of itching, like, talk about our band, talk about our band. I'm like, look, why don't you just sit down and have a fucking conversation? Like that's what we've been doing. You know
it's funny when our tour manager was like, hey, we got press at 4:30, and he was telling Devin, and Devin usually does the press, yeah. obviously, fucking lead singer, and they want to talk to him.
Of course,
that's great.
Yeah.
It's great to talk to. However, he had something to do, so I was like, I'm bored. Let's go do some fucking press. So, guys, feel free. We're just hanging now. I love it.
We were talking about this before, you know, because we were in bands too, and I'm like, dude, I'm the drummer. Like, we were going to do Whitechapel, and they canceled. And I'm like, dude, if I was the drummer of Whitechapel, I mean, I'm not, so I don't know how it is for them, but I'd be like, dude, lead singer can't do it. Fuck it. I'll do it, you know? I want to get our band's message and shit out there just as much as the lead singer does, you know? I guess people don't see that, you know, that want to interview the lead, you know, guy. So
yeah.
It's just cool to be interviewing a guitar player, you know?
And if somebody was like, oh my gosh, I want to talk to Devin, I'd be like,
fuck you,
off.
You got me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, listen, I've been in the band too, so I'll be able to tell you.
You want to talk to Devin, tweet at him, all right?
Yeah, you want to talk to Dev, tweet at him. Otherwise, here I am. Let's go.
Are you? Do you have a personal Twitter on?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I don't use it often. I just use it to say, like, something stupid once in a while.
Buy our album.
Not
I
even.
I like cheesecakes.
Yeah, more like I like cheesecake. I don't like to be the guy who's constantly just like a fucking walking billboard. I like to try to let the records do that for us.
Yeah.
I want people to listen to the tunes because they like it, not because they think I'm cute. Even though I'm not that cute, Devin's cute. He does all the cuteness stuff for us, so that helps. It allows me not to be the guy to do that.
So you're not the one like in the background taking selfies randomly?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, all right.
Very rarely will you catch me snapping a selfie. I do. I just got Snapchat. I do the daily shotso, and the shotso was me and just looking fucking rocked. Like, fuck. Well, that's it. That's all you get out of me. you can see that on my story.
Yeah, what is up with Snapchat? I mean, obviously, we got to get it as a media publication or whatever the fuck you
gotta
want to
call have it.
Yes, gotta. I mean, look, I just figured out Twitter. Now here's Snapchat. I'm like, what the fuck?
You know, I boycotted it for the longest time. Every once in a while, guys would be like, dude, you need to get a Snapchat. I'm like, no, I don't.
Why?
Yeah, why? Like, I don't like taking pictures of myself or the dumb things that go on.
Here's
you know?
The bus. Here's myself.
Yeah,
done.
Exactly. I like to be the behind-the-scenes guy. And
it's like a bit of mystery to you a little
absolutely.
Bit, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I don't like to put my whole life out there. I don't think it's cool, you know? Like,
yeah.
The question I always say is, like, what would Roger Waters' fucking Instagram look like? Probably not. It would probably wouldn't have set times every day.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be selfies every day. Like, probably just be some picture, black and white picture of the forest with some crazy lyric that...
Now, the question is, if he was still around, what would Syd Barrett's Instagram look like?
God, I couldn't even tell you. See, we could go for days. Like, what would Jimi Hendrix's thing look like?
Yeah.
Like, seriously though, these guys
just
didn't give
like
a shit about saying, hey guys, come check out our tour. Like, Come on, dude.
I'm
going to
put the Star Spangled Banner at Woodstock. You better be there to catch
yeah,
it. Yeah,
exactly. You better be there to check out the Star Spangled Banner about to play at Woodstock. Yeah. You know, maybe his agent would tweet that for him, but I don't think Jimmy would be worried about that. I think he'd be worried about that damn instrument and getting to Woodstock on time, you know, and being able to stand on his feet from tripping peyote for 3 days. I don't
know. Yeah. wasn't he the one where he had the headband, but he would put like tabs of acid in there, and apparently that worked?
Yeah, I think he's onto something. I might have to try that out, see if what type of results we get. I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, no, please don't.
I'll probably have a good chat with afterwards from corporate. And I do not want that. So.
Yeah, about that, we don't like that.
We don't like
that. We do
that.
Not approve of
you got naked,
drug paraphernalia.
You got naked in the middle of your set today. That's not okay. That's illegal. You owe us $10,000, and you're off the tour.
You humped the crowd surfer. That looked like Winnie the Pooh. We're not down
Maybe
with that.
Maybe a little less that, a little more keep your clothes on and just play your instrument and get off stage on time. That'd be great. Thank you.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is it that you actually do around here?
Saw your schlong. That's not okay.
Hey, band members get kicked out of bands for that shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's actually a few bands on this tour, which I'm not going to get into, but should definitely happen with them.
Yeah, it's part of life, right? Or whatever.
Is it?
For some people, I guess. I've been fortunate enough to be in a band with guys who are incredibly conscious. They're incredibly mild-tempered. They're the best. That I can never worry about these guys doing weird shit. Like,
because it's a business also.
Oh, it's incredibly a business, and we take it very seriously. Yeah. And you know, it's important to us to stay in between the lines, and you know, especially being on a tour like Warped Tour. It's like they invented the rules to their tour, and we got invited to it, so we're gonna play along with those rules so that we can be a positive influence on this tour and to hopefully to our peers and, you know, to Warped Tour as well. Like, we really respect what they're doing out here, and we think that this is an amazing thing to be a part of. And, you know, so whatever that means, we're going to do more of that.
Absolutely.
Less peyote, more rule following.
Yes. Wasn't there, and feel free to not answer this, wasn't there something that happened a couple of years ago with Warped Tour and IC Stars?
Absolutely. In fact, today was a show that we didn't play because some stupid shit that, you know, was actually not totally our fault. But, you know, when one piece of the team goes down, you all go down.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you learn that the hard way. And
you're only as strong as your weakest link.
That's
unfortunately.
It. Exactly. And, you know, hence we have, you know, we dropped some members, and, you know, it just made it easier to manage, you know, less responsibility spread thin and more like, yo, straight to the point.
Yeah.
So I think my dudes are ready to go here, so I'm going to follow them out. Thank you guys so much for having
me. Thank you so much. Anything you want to plug real quick besides get Treehouse?
Treehouse. Get that.
Get that shit.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man.
And there you have it. Thank you so much, Brent, for taking the time out to talk with us on Warped Tour. And like I said, it was one of our best interviews. It was very nice, very chill, very relaxed. And we'll definitely have him and or the band on again. Anyways, I'm going to leave you off with a very old Icy Stars song from their album 3D. Here is The Common Hour. We'll see you Monday. Later.